and people don't have any money, and the bills of the church just keep on going on. So, you know, as we hear of needs, we may help some of those churches down there. We may send some help or assistance, and we'll find out what needs are as time goes on. But just keep them in prayer. Amen. Let's go to the word of the Lord, Mark chapter 3 and verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day. Not because they were excited about seeing a miracle, but that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, he was angry, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And I just want to talk about that tonight, stretching forth the withered hand. Stretching forth the withered hand. Amen. Would you pray and ask God to just do a work in us? God, whatever you want to do, I pray that you would do it. However you want to move, I pray that your will be done. Lord God, if you want to heal, I pray that you would heal. If you want to deliver and touch minds and hearts, I pray that you would do it. Lord, if you want to encourage and strengthen, I pray that you would let it be done. If you want to humble us, Lord, and direct our lives, I pray, let it be so, God. Whatever you want to do in this service, we pray that your will be done in every life, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. There are some things that just stand out. They're easily noticed. An incorrect note stands out to a trained musical ear. It stands out. A wrong brush stroke stands out to the eye of an experienced artist. We could look at the painting and not see anything out of order, but to an experienced artist, they notice it. A counterfeit bill stands out to a banker counting currency. We might not even notice it, but when you're used to counting money and how things look, and all of a sudden one comes through that, ooh, that's not, there's something off on that. A misspelled word stands out to an avid reader. A missing cylinder stands out to a good mechanic, and on. Some things just stand out. Although Jesus was quite busy in ministry, he would often make a practice of watching people. Does anybody like to watch people, just kind of to study them and see what they're doing and just watch and realize, hey, I'm not the only one that's not perfect, but everybody's got issues. And anyway, it's interesting. But Jesus would often make a practice of watching people because there were some things that would just stand out to him. Remember when he sat over against the treasury and he watched how the people gave. Some gave a lot and some gave a little. By the way, God does notice how we give. It's not so much about the amount to him, but it's whether we give liberally or give sparingly, whether we give cheerfully or reluctantly. He takes notice of the heart. And there were many that day that were rich, and they gave a lot. But there was a certain poor widow that she only gave 2 small coins. But in the little that she gave, it was more than all of those who gave out of their abundance. In Mark 12:43, we read, and he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. There are some things that stand out to the Lord. He does take notice of our lives. He does pay attention. He's looking at us through a depth that's much greater than what we can understand as humanity. We look at someone and we see the outside. But when he looks at someone, it's not just their actions or their demeanor. It's not just their speech, but it's more than that. It's about what their motivations are. It's their innermost thoughts, the reason behind everything that they do. He takes notice of us. There's some things just stand out to the Lord. In our text, he went into the synagogue and instantly he discovered a man there who had a withered hand. But more than that, not only did he see that man's condition, he saw the condition of the Pharisees who were gathered there, along with the state of their heart. And they were just looking, just trying to find a reason to accuse him of something. And they watched, they waited to see would Jesus heal on the Sabbath day. They weren't so concerned with just keeping the law as they were just looking for a reason to criticize. And so Jesus walks into the room and he instantly takes notice of all this, that this man with the withered hand and the hearts of the Pharisees, and he knew what each was thinking and he knew what was about to happen on that day. You see, he sees every need. In a church service like this, he sees every need. We can look around and we can make some educated guesses about the needs that are in a house like this, that that person, surely they need healing, and that one needs a financial blessing, and that one over there is depressed, and that one needs the Holy Ghost. But we can only tell so much with our limited understanding. But God sees every need. He knows every situation. He sees beyond what we pick up just in the natural. He sees us from the inside out. I tell you, he knows what physical needs are in this house tonight. He knows who needs healing in their body. He knows who is facing a tragic circumstance. He sees those things clearly, yet he also sees the needs of the heart. He knows the emotions. He sees the things on the inside of us that nobody else knows about. He takes notice of it all. It is not hidden from the Lord. He sees it all. Needs stand out to the Lord just as a wrong musical note makes a musician just cringe. We gather into a church service or a Bible study or maybe our time of prayer, and before we even show up, he already knows what we have need of. Amen. Just like a trained surgeon knows that there's something off in someone's body, Jesus knows exactly what's wrong with us. He sees every single need. Sometimes we try to act like we've got it all together. Come on, we act like we don't have any problems, and somebody asks how we're doing. Oh, we've never been better, when really we've never been worse. But we've trained ourselves to put on a facade and to act like everything's right because we really don't want anyone to know. We don't want to admit that we're not invincible. We don't want to open up ourselves to being less than perfect. And as Christians, we don't want to admit that we're human and that we have faults and failures. But it does not matter how great of an act we put on. Jesus sees every single need. He sees beyond the front that we put on. He sees the hurts. He knows the pain. He sees the guilt and the shame that we're carrying. He looks at us and it's all revealed to him in an instant. Things that nobody else knows about. Jesus sees every need. And tonight on a Wednesday night, he's carefully surveying those who are here. I tell you, he's already got your number. He already knows the need that you came here with tonight. He knows exactly where we're at and what we're going through. Man looks on the outside, but God looks inwardly. 1 Samuel 16 and 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen. You can go to the doctor and they can hook you up to all kinds of machines and they can take pictures. Brother Wiggins, you know more about this than I, but pictures of your heart, and they can put dye and all these things, and they can search the heart for what's wrong in the heart. But God just looks in an instant of time and he knows exactly what's in our heart. At the end of John chapter 1, Jesus says to Philip, he says, follow me. And Philip finds Nathanael and says to him, we have found him. The one that Moses and the prophets wrote about, this Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, well, why don't you come and see? Come and see. In John 1:47, says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold an Israelite, indeed, who in whom is no guile. Jesus saw him coming, and before he ever got there, he took notice of him. He took notice of what was in his heart. He saw him from the inside out, and he said, there's no guile in this man. There's no deceit in him. In other words, this is an honest man. This is a man of integrity. In verse 48, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? In other words, how do you know me? We haven't even met yet. Jesus answered and said to him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. You see, Jesus was looking at Nathanael even before Philip had even called him. The Lord knows us before we ever even know him. Who knows? Who knows what that was all about under the fig tree? I don't know what that meant to Nathanael. Whatever it was about, no one knows but him and the Lord. But it was plain to Nathanael that day that when he was resting under the fig tree in his backyard and nobody else was there and nobody else knew. Maybe he was praying about something. Maybe he was thinking about the Lord. Maybe he was wondering, is there really a heaven and is there really a hell? God, are you real? Maybe he made some kind of promise to God while he was sitting there. But whatever it was, in that private moment when nobody else was around and he was in secret under the fig tree, Jesus was there. And it convinced Nathanael, and he said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. I feel like the presence of the Lord is here tonight. And we've come here, but before we ever got into this place, Jesus was looking at you. And Jesus was looking at you. And he was examining your heart. And he was looking at your life. And he said, before you even got here, I know what the need is. And I've come to meet it tonight. I've come to reach to you and to touch your life. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He sees every need. He's looking at those gathered here tonight. He takes interest in our lives, in our situations. He sees our needs. He knows what we're facing. He knows what we're worried about. Don't think that God doesn't know where you're at. Don't think that your prayers aren't being heard. Nobody else was around, but he heard Nathanael. Amen. And he hears the cry of your heart. He knows the burden that you're bearing here tonight. He sees every need. Now, it's one thing to know what the problem is. It's another thing to be able to do something about it. One of the hardest things in life is to know about a need. To be aware of a situation that someone is going through, to see their need, to feel their pain, to understand their plight, and not be able to do anything to fix it. That's a hard thing. Because we identify with the problem, but when we don't have the power to change it, we can't do anything to fix it, we feel the pain, but there's nothing we can do about it. But we serve a God today that not only does he see every need, but he also has all power. He is all powerful. There is nothing too hard for him. There is nothing that he can't work out. There is nothing that scares him. There's nothing that stumps God. He has all power. He is able to fix it, able to deliver. He's able to bring strength. He's able to give wisdom. When we gather together in a church service, or maybe it's on our private time of devotion, maybe it's at dinner with our family or alone all by ourselves, but when we cry out to the Lord and call on the name of Jesus, when we begin to worship and we begin to praise his name and he inhabits the praises of his people, when his presence fills the room or the church that we're in, I tell you, we're in the presence of the one who can do anything. He can do anything, absolutely anything. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Not only does he see every need, but he has the power to meet the need. He has the power to raise you up. He has the power to deliver you. He has the power to heal your emotions. He has the power to do anything. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Too many people come to church and they leave still carrying their burdens. Oh, don't they realize who we go to church with? Come on, don't they realize whose presence we're in? Don't they realize what causes them to feel those chill bumps going up and down the back of their neck? Don't they know who is in this place with us? Just a little news flash. It's not us. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. It's his power. It's his glory. It's his spirit. Hallelujah. It's the moving of Almighty God that does the work. We can't heal anyone. We can't help anyone out of their pit, but we can look to Jesus and he can raise them up. He has the power to do anything. We can't forget what church is all about. It's not a social club. It's not about being a community center. It's not just about youth events or pizza parties or children's programs. We may do all of that, but that's not the focus of what we are here for. It's not about having a concert with singers or a special speaker. It's about getting together with the God of heaven who has all power. Come on, it's about being in the presence of the one that created us. It's about being in the presence of the one that can do anything in our lives. If we really believe that, then we'd act a whole lot differently about church. Nobody would be bored. Nobody would be late. Nobody would be daydreaming. If we really believed that we're in the presence of Almighty God, if we can really catch that and grip that with our thinking, it will change how we come to church. It'll change how we worship. It'll change how we give. It'll change how we respond in an altar call. It'll change us forever. We cannot forget Jesus Christ is here. It's more than just you and me. It's more than just this building. It's more than just praise singers and musicians. But Jesus Christ is here. And whatever you need, whatever you face, he has the power to do it. It's God's will that we be made whole. It's not his will that we be lacking, that we be hurting, that we be less than what he has designed for us to be. It's God's will that we be made whole. You see, a withered hand can go through the motions. A withered hand it's not completely incapacitated. There's some things that it can do. But God does not want us to be spiritually deformed. A withered hand can still go through the motions, but it is not whole. How many times do apostolics go through the motions? They know how to do church. They know how to sing the songs. They They know how to preach with the preacher. They know how to go through the motions of doing church. But to many, church has become a tradition. It's a ritual. It's an obligation. And they're just going through the motions, but they're not whole. And I feel like there's some lives here tonight that it's just like the man with the withered hand. You're making it okay. You're making it okay. You've been going through the motions. You're not backslid. You're not totally out of it, but you're not whole. There's something lacking. There's something missing. There's something that's hurting. There's something that's been damaged. There's something withered. There's some kind of pain and some kind of heartache somewhere. And if you could fix it, if we could fix it, we would have. But it's going to take the touch of the only one who is truly able. It's going to take the touch of God Almighty. It's going to take God's touch to fix it, to make us whole. God sees every need and he has all power. But here's the thing tonight. He will not impose. God is a gentleman. He will not force his way into a life that does not open the door to him. He will not intrude where he is not wanted. He only works in our lives to the extent that we are willing. He will prompt our heart and he will speak to our spirit and he will reach for us, but he does not force himself. If we don't want to be healed, he's not going to heal us. If we don't want to live for God, that's our choice. If we don't want the gift of the Holy Ghost, he's not going to force it on us. He sees every need and he has all power, but he will not impose. Over the years, I've seen many people come to church unwillingly. Maybe it was a loving and praying wife that convinced them to come. Maybe it was a desperate parent that begged them to come. Maybe it was a concerned friend who went and picked them up. Whatever the case, they really didn't want to be there. And I tell you, God will work, thankfully. He'll work to soften hearts. And I've seen it. It was like every song was meant for them. The direction of the whole service was reaching for their life. The preaching was right to them. But someone who is unwilling to be moved, someone who is prideful, someone who refuses to surrender, that person who is not willing to have the touch of God upon their life, they will go without it. I've never seen somebody be filled with the Holy Ghost that didn't want it. I've never seen it. In fact, I've never seen somebody receive the Holy Ghost who was not hungry enough to pray for it and to reach for it. I've seen parents try to pray with children who were cold and hateful. Their parents wanted them to receive the Holy Ghost so desperately, but until that young person humbled themselves and cried out to God, God didn't fill them. I've prayed with grown men who were so intent on not being moved. Yet in their hearts, I knew that they were so troubled, but they wouldn't let their spirit break, and they missed out on what God wanted to do. I've been in youth camp after youth camp, and I would always, sometime in the altar call, I'd make my way back to the back of the auditorium, and I would find those who hadn't been moved all week long, and I would pray with them, and I would seek the Lord with them, and I prayed until I was totally out of breath and exhausted for people that God wanted to deliver, but my prayers didn't do the job because they were unwilling. And sadly, some of those left still bound in their hearts because we have to be willing for God to move in us. The pastor can't make you live for God. Your parents can't make you live for God. Somebody else can't have a relationship with God for you. There has to be a burning desire inside of us that Jesus, I want you to move in me. I want you to work in me. I don't want to be lost, God. I don't want to go to hell, but I pray that you would get a hold of my heart, and I pray that you would move me from the place that I'm at and take me to where you want me to be. Amen, amen. There's sometimes I'm praying and I don't even know for sure what to pray, but I pray, God, I'm not happy where I'm at. I'm not happy like I am right now, but I pray that you would get a hold of me, and I pray that you would shake me. I pray that you would stir my heart. I pray, Lord, you'd get a hold of my mind and get me the place you want me to be. Lord, I've got to be saved. Amen, amen. Oh, it concerns this pastor when we are more moved by the things going on in this world than we're moved by the power of God reaching for our lives. I tell you today, this ought to be first and foremost. I've got to make it to heaven. I can't be lost. My family's got to be saved. We've got to live for God. We've got to be moved in our spirit. Because God won't impose. This is the one place that all that power is limited. To think God knows our need. He sees the condition of our heart, and he actually has the power to do whatever it is. Nothing's too hard for him, but with all of that power, we can limit God, and we can stop his touch, and we can resist his blessing. We have the power to stop the hand of God in our life. Matthew 13:54 tells us, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And then verse 58, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Their unbelief, their unwillingness, their resistance stopped the work that he could have done. He did not many mighty works there. Things that he would have done. He was ready to do it, but they limited the power of God. I tell you, he can open up deaf ears. It's nothing for the Lord to open up a deaf ear. But deaf ears have to want to be open. He could deliver every burdened heart here tonight, but hearts must be willing to be delivered. He could raise the dead. It's not too hard for him to do. He could raise the dead, but dead souls must be willing to be raised. He could calm the stormy sea, but I tell you, he can't quiet a rebellious heart. Can we get past ourselves and let Jesus do whatever he wants to do in us? Oh, praise the Lord. If you don't know what to ask the Lord for, then just ask him, Lord, let your will be done in my life. Sometimes if you don't know what to pray, just say, I pray the will of God. I pray the will of God for my life. I pray the will of God for my family. I pray the will of God for my church. I pray the will of God for my city. I pray the will of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, let your will be done. Let your power move. Move in us. Work in us. Let your will go forward, I pray. Help us to be in your will. If we're out of your will, then God, get us back in your will and your plan for us. I pray the will of God. Amen. Let's make up our mind. We're not going to be in the presence of the one who sees the depth of our soul and is able to work in us, but because we're unwilling, we miss out on the miracle. God is ready. He is ready to do the work. Psalms 86:5 says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. Isaiah 38:20 says, the Lord was ready to save me. Not only is he ready, but I tell you tonight, he is willing. He is willing. 2 Peter 3:9 declares, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is willing. There was a man with leprosy came to Jesus. He was begging for healing. And he said, if you are willing, Lord, then make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him. He said, I'm willing, be clean. Amen. The Lord is ready and the Lord is willing. And I tell you, he is able. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. God is able to do more than we can even imagine. He is able. He is able. I tell you, God is ready. He is willing and he is able to do it. Your miracle is ready. God is waiting. But we've got to be willing. Hallelujah. We have to be ready for God to do it. We have to be willing to surrender. We have to be able to let him into the recesses of our heart to heal that withered place in our life. We all have one. That place that we don't like to admit exists. That room of our heart that we don't let anybody know it's there. We keep it hidden. We keep it locked away. But we have to be able to let him in so that he can work. If we will, he will. If we will, he will. In Mark 3, Jesus went into the synagogue. Immediately he knew everything about everything in the house. Before he ever got there, he knew the needs that would be there. He saw the man who had a withered hand. He saw the Pharisees with such evil in their hearts, just watching and trying to find something to criticize. But he blocks all of that out, and he looks at that poor man who'd been going through the motions. He'd been coping with life. He had been making it, just barely making it through, but he wasn't whole. And in Mark 3:5, Jesus said, stretch forth thine hand. If we will, then he will. If we will, then he will. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. There are some miracles that we have to be a participant in. There's sometimes God just does it. He opens a door, and we're like, oh, God, thank you so much, and we just walk right. But there's some other miracles we have to be a participant in. Amen. Stretch out your rod, Moses. Go wash 7 times in the Jordan River, Naaman. Fill the water pots with water and take to the governor to drink. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Take up your bed and walk. Come on, Peter, step out of the boat and walk on the water. If we will, then he will. If we will, then he will. I believe tonight that somebody here, you have a withered hand. It may not be a physical thing, but it may be something emotional. It may be something spiritual. I don't know what it is, but I just feel today that there is somebody here, you are not whole. You have been lacking. Oh, life has been good, but it's not been great. Come on, life has been good, but it's not great. There's a ministry that's not fully developed. There's a relationship that's been broken. There's a heart that's been hurt somewhere a long time ago, and it's never really healed. It's a withered hand. It's a withered hand, and you can make it through life. You can go through the motions, but why do that when we're in the presence of Almighty God tonight? And if you will stretch forth that withered hand, if you'll give him access to your troubled heart, if you'll give him the ability to work in you, God is ready, he is willing, and he is able to make you whole here tonight. And when you leave this house, you will be forever different. Would you stand with me? And I wonder if you just stretch your hands to the Lord and say, God, by faith, I'm stretching forth that withered hand. By faith, I'm stretching forth that place in my heart that's hurting, that's broken, that place in my life that's lacking. I'm stretching it forth. I'm giving it to you, Lord. I'm going to let you work. I'm going to let you move. I'm going to give you authority to work and move in me. I submit myself to your power here today. Ikorabo shataya.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I give you control. I submit to your power. I submit to your will. I submit to your purpose tonight, God. Lord, I pray that you would move. God, I will do it. Whatever you want me to do, I'll answer the call. I'll be willing here tonight in Jesus' name. Come on, he sees every need. He sees every need. We don't need to act like everything's perfect. Jesus already sees it. He already knows it. He was watching us before we ever even got here tonight. And he has a plan to touch every life, to minister to every need, to help every situation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If we will, he will. Would you stretch out and give it to the Lord right now? In Jesus' name, Lord, I give you that hurt. I give you that pain. I give you that troubled relationship. I give you that situation. Nobody else knows about it, but God, you've already seen it. And so, God, I'm going to give up and give you control right now. I turn it over to you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.